welcome to the 23rd episode of the Animal Addicts Podcast. On today's episode, we catch up on some of our holiday shenanigans, discuss some more of our picks, and naturally, Casey terrifies me with his, and learn about a very beautiful animal as this week's Animal of the Week. I will be posting an article to Twitter this week, so be sure to follow us at AnimalAddictsP on Twitter. And now, let's get into episode 23 of the Animal Addicts Podcast. Hello, and welcome to the 23rd episode of the Animal Addicts Podcast. As always, we're your hosts, Allie.
And Casey.
And today we're going to talk about a whole new brew of animals, because I didn't look
up one. What?
Brew is my word for today, because I didn't look up one.
Okay.
And there aren't really that many more words that are not.
You could say mishmash.
A mishmash? Well, I feel like mishmash is better than mishmash.
But it's a little spin to it.
Well, I like brew. Well, okay. I didn't do it that time. No rolled R. Anyway. Yep. Technically it's actually our second episode of the new year, but we haven't seen each other since Christmas, really.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Before Christmas.
We had to pre-record, so. So what have you been up to, Casey? Were your Christmas predictions correct, by the way?
What were my predictions?
You were going to be in your ugly sweater, which I believe you were.
Yes, I was.
I don't remember the rest of them. I think you were talking about some sort of food.
Oh, yeah, we did. It was a different variation of our, like, breakfast, dinner. Didn't use hash browns this time. Instead, we used, like, tater tots in it. It was still good, but I prefer it with the hash browns.
Okay.
But, yeah, it's basically eggs, hash browns, bacon, I think bacon, and sausage. It's really good, but this time we had tater tots, and it's better with hash browns.
Okay.
But that did happen, and I was drinking mimosas that day, although my sister said
I... She's crazy to me. I'm not envision mimosas as Christmassy drinks.
Yeah, and I mean, I was making it the right way, but my sisters were judging me.
Okay.
Because it's like, you know, that video of where they're pouring all the champagne and then a little drop of orange juice.
I'm definitely more orange juice, less champagne. Oh. I'm not a fan of champagne, honestly.
Mm.
New Year's, I even did. Martinelli's.
I had champagne. New Year's, I had Mike's apple cider, sparkling apple cider.
That sounds kind of good.
Yeah. I didn't drink much on New Year's.
I didn't drink, like, any alcohol on New Year's. I had a tiny bit.
Last New Year's was...
Anyway, it was an adventure on New Year's, but yeah. It was an adventure of a different kind. Anyway, but my Christmas prediction, jeez. Christmas prediction was very wrong, but tell us about yours first and anything you want to say about your Christmas experience, because I have a bit to say about my little cat and that experience.
Yeah, so not a whole lot else. I was just on my phone and watching TV, or rather just having the TV in the background because it was football, whatever my brother and my dad were watching, because... Certain people watch sports on
holidays. Yeah.
And I did get cool Christmas gifts. I got some preserved specimens. I got a jeweled mantis.
Okay.
And a sunset moth from my sister, my little sister.
Okay.
Then I got a trilobite fossil and an ammonite fossil from my brother.
Which are?
So ammonite is an extinct species of nautiloid.
Oh, well, that explains it. What's a nautiloid?
Have you ever heard of a nautilus?
Yes, but, like, what is it?
It's a cephalopod, which are, like, squid and octopus, okay. Except it has a shell.
Weird. Okay.
Yes. But, yeah, it's, like, a shell, and it's, like, really cool. Like, I can't go into the biology because I'll just confuse people, but they have really cool patterns on, like, the separating the chambers of the shell, and it's, like, two halves.
Oh.
I still need to get a display for it, but, yeah. And then I'm supposed to be getting a Jurassic Park cane with amber.
Yes, yes.
Yeah. Instead, I just have a picture of it right now because shipping fiascos.
Yeah. Shipping has been an issue.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, That was it.
Nice, nice. Well, I had predicted that I would be having hot cocoa, which I did not, in my Harry Potter pajamas, which I having my hot cocoa now because it's freezing. I was not in my Harry Potter pajamas, but I was in pajamas the whole day. And I said, hopefully, we would all be getting along in the living room. Oh, no. So, the adventure started. This was Tiger Lily's first time traveling. Well, she's gone to the vet, and that was also a disaster. And she's gone to get her nails trimmed once, also a disaster. But it was, like, 10 minutes away each time, and she freaked out, and cats usually do for 10 minutes, right? Oh, boy. So, we start the drive to Arizona. And
how long of a drive is it to Arizona?
It depends how fast I drive. like 7 hours-ish to Prescott, Arizona.
Okay, that's kind of similar to what it takes to get Yosemite.
Yeah.
A little bit longer for Yosemite.
Ugh. Anyway, but so we drive, we're on the road for, well, first of all, she's freaking out the entire time, screeching, mm-hmm. all of that. Mm-hmm. And then eventually, oh my God, my bag, my purse. Oh, and it was also my grandma. So my grandma's in the front seat, and then her walker, which... why are walkers not designed to fit well into a standard car trunk? Okay, this comes into play later. But her walker's in the back seat, like behind the seat, right?
Uh-huh.
Standing up. And the cat is in the back seat as well. And all the other cats we've had will cry in their crate and then they go to sleep. Oh, not Tiger Lily. So she cries. And then I look back and she's reaching through the door and she has grabbed paper or like food or whatever was in front of her and ripping that apart. So I had to move that out of the way. And then I look, I can show you. Well, it's not that close. My bag over there, it's like a werewolf attacked it. Scratches. She ripped up my bag because it was within reach. And then I move that. And then she's going so crazy at her door. She has made her nails bleed. Pieces of her nails have chipped off. So I'm like, oh my God, now I have to pull over and deal with this mess. So she has a harness and a leash, but she hates them, obviously, because I was going to try to take her outside with those. I did not bring those with me.
Mm-hmm.
And at that point, I'm like, oh my God, she's like ripping her nails up and freaking out so bad. So then I have a slip lead that I keep in my car in case mm-hmm. I ever find stray dogs or something. And so I'm like, okay, I'll put that around her. So I did it like around one arm, mm-hmm. and around her neck type thing. And then I gave her to my grandma. Also, she's not a fan of being held in general. So I gave her
I remember
grandma.
This.
Yes. So I gave her to my grandma to hold on to. Like, maybe she'll calm down if she's outside of the crate and, like, can see what's going on. So she was a little better. But, of course, uh-huh. she wanted to go down to the pedals, which is why she can't just be loose in the car in the first place, right?
Yeah.
So I'm like, oh, my God. So she was a nightmare. And then she kind of came over on my lap. And then I'm like, I have to actually make a detour to go to a pet store to go buy a harness and leash and get a whole new setup. Because you're freaking out so bad. So I had to call my parents and be like, so we're going to be delayed. She is by far the worst traveler we have ever had. And now I have to go buy things that I already have at home. I did not anticipate this being an issue. So anyway, so I go in, drop, you know, $70 on stuff. Because then I also got calming treats and some other treats to try to coax her.
Did they work?
I did it on the way back.
Okay.
And it did seem to make things better. But we also did a different setup on the way back. So then I get the harness, and I got, like, only, like, a 2-foot leash. So mm-hmm. I wrap, and I have this really good, I love, and then I found it after, so we did it on the way home. But it actually, like, belts into the seat buckle, and then you clip it onto a harness. So it's literally buckled in, so it's mm-hmm. super secure. But I just took the seat belt and looped it through the, like, handle of the leash, and then I put on her harness. So she was better that way. And, oh, and before we went to the pet store, the reason I was like, I have to stop, she was panting. She was so freaked out. She was panting. Cats are not supposed to pant.
Yeah.
So I was like, I have to calm you down. And I offered her water. Not interested. Anyway.
You okay there?
Yes. The yawning won't stop because I'm tired and I haven't slept very well in like 3 days. Anyway.
Need caffeine.
Yes. It's bad. Anywho's. So we stop. I get that all set up. I get her set up and she's better. Still bad. Also, my grandma's now covered in cat hair, as is my car. and then she wanted to, like, be up front with us, and she couldn't get all the way up. So that was the thing. So she complained. But eventually, it got dark, and she went to sleep. I was like, oh, my God, this is a nightmare. Then we get her to their house, and we're like, okay, we're going to do a slow introduction with a dog, right? So the first night, we're not even going to introduce them. So, like, we put a doggy gate up, same as it was when I was in quarantine.
Mm-hmm.
Put the doggy gate up, and then my grandma was in that room, and she was in that room, and then her litter box was in the guest bathroom, and then I slept out in the living room. So we get her all set up, and then I put her carrier out where the dog could smell, so we could start smelling her. And he, this is a German Shepherd Roddy mix, mostly Shepherd, not so much Roddy. Cat carrier, standard cat carrier,
yeah.
Head in it, fully in it, like trying to sniff her and everything. I was like, oh my gosh, she's obsessed. He was obsessed and would not let it go. Mm-hmm. So after a few days, we had one time I was like, okay, let's let them get like in the same room. So I held her up on the bed and my mom came in the room with him. He wanted to eat her. And we're like, okay, that's not working. So then she had to kick him out and the cat freaked out, of course, and ran and hid. And I got scratched, naturally.
Yeah.
So then I was like, okay, so let's let him, because he's so obsessed with her, let's let him actually get in the room and maybe if they're loose, but give her a place to run so she can get away from him. He, full focus, hunt mode. Like, usually they're like, rah, 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 and like, just going crazy because they're so excited and like sniffing. No. Just like, saw she was there, dove under the bed. I grabbed his collar so he wouldn't have been able to get all the way under the bed, but still. Mm-hmm. And he just pointed and he just held it and he just stared at her as you just hear, and all that from under the bed. I was like, oh my God. I'm like, no, he literally wants to eat her. He's clearly going to eat her. He cannot be trusted. So then we had to do this fun game of like, lock the dog in my parents' room at night so the cat can actually wander the house. Because the rest of the day, she stays under the bed.
Yeah.
She's terrified of him. It was a nightmare, Casey. It was a nightmare. Mm-hmm. So then on the way back, I was like, we're not doing this again. Drugging you. And then also, you're going to... And then I... And I'm on the way over because I had to rearrange her. So I had to let her out of the crate. So I had to turn to the side instead of being in the middle. I had to fully repack the car. This is where the walker comes into play. Because then the walker couldn't sit where it was. The walker's fine. There's no live cat in the backseat. Well, the live cat in the backseat is a problem. The walker does not, even to put it in the trunk on its own, you still have to, like, jimmy it around. I'm like, this is so stupid. Like, a walker should fit in a standard trunk without, like, all of this effort.
Yeah.
So I had to completely repack the car, too. That was part of why we were late. So on the way out, I'm like, okay, how am I going to repack this car? So I did it better that time so we didn't have to rearrange things. But it was a nightmare. But she was better on the way out. She still complained. But I put her on a longer lead because I found that little belt thing. So I clipped that onto the leash. And then she sat in, like, the center console and, like, slept with her head on my grandma, basically. It was much better. But anyway, oh, my God.
Yep, drugs make everything better.
And they do. It was such an ordeal. And I was like, this is by far the worst traveler we have ever had. So anyway... Christmas was kind of, I mean, Christmas itself was nice, but that whole thing was just, like, a nightmare.
Yeah.
So anyway, but we're back now, and we're alive again. Mm-hmm. So yay. Christmas. Traveling with pets. Oh, my gosh. Anywho's. But let's get into actual animal-y things, and not just our pets being crazy. Well, my pets being crazy, your pets are fine.
They're also reptiles.
Also, though... Remember how we said it's important to have an evacuation plan and ready? Because Casey almost had to evacuate.
Yeah, Christmas Eve. We got a fire warning.
Yep.
Oh, there's more stories about that. And so, what my family packed in, we have a lot of cars. What we started packing first should not have been our priority.
Okay.
It was the Christmas presents.
No.
Yes.
Okay.
Those are things. We dedicated one whole car.
We're not losing Christmas if we lose the whole house.
Yeah. And we packed them all. One car was basically just our presents.
Oh my gosh. And then the pets, hopefully, were the next prepped thing. They weren't packed, obviously.
No, I had I have plenty of totes and tanks for them to be in such a situation. So yeah. Those were on standby.
Oh my gosh. Anyway,
yeah.
So always be prepared, guys. You don't think that there's going to be a fire Christmas Eve.
Yeah. Also, my family, we don't always recognize how short of a distance it can be because, like, it's all where we live, it's very hilly, a lot of winding roads. It's like less about a 5 to 10 minute drive to where the fire was.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
That's a good choice.
You know what happened that night?
What?
Some idiots started setting off fireworks.
Of course, because never underestimate the stupidity.
Yeah. Tons of fireworks on New Year's Eve.
Oh, yeah.
And the day after New Year's Eve and the day after that.
Idiots. Remember how there was a fire?
Mm-hmm.
Anyway. So, word to the wise, everyone. Be prepared all the time.
Yes.
But yes, Let's talk about the other things we, I guess we intended to talk about this too, but the other things that we should talk about.
Yes. Well, mine's pretty short.
Okay, great. Go for it, Casey.
But yeah, so one of the presents I got was actually these, I don't know why they are, but they are these environmentally friendly biodegradable socks.
What?
Yes, my sister got them for me.
Hey.
I don't know
why. Does it not degrade on your feet?
I don't know. I'm pretty sure it's just for when it goes into the dump eventually.
Okay.
But yeah. So I wanted to talk about eco products. Because, like, if you're getting, like, the sustainable and eco-friendly products, make sure you're not just buying it because it's saying that and you're actually going to be using it. Because otherwise, like, say you buy the metal straws, but then you never use the metal straws. Then it's like you're just wasting raw materials that could have been used for something else.
I guess. Okay, yeah.
And then there's some other ones. I'm trying to remember. But yeah, basically, you want to just be consuming in order to be environmentally friendly. And so you should focus on that rather than buying these eco products, because then you're still just, because it still requires resources to make these, and then you're still contributing to environmental destruction. It's like the key is reducing what you're using, not always just using all these eco products if you're not actually going to use them.
Yeah, we're very consumer based.
Yeah.
In, well, most of the developed world. That's how people make money.
It's capitalism.
Yeah, I know, capitalism. It's just wonderful for everything.
Yep.
Okay, so be mindful of that. Also, I would just say, don't just believe that something's eco-friendly because it says it is, like, on the packaging.
Oh, yeah.
That's usually very misleading.
Yeah, it's like, there's tons of things, like, they'll label for, like, the environmentally friendly, like, I know a lot of people, this one, I don't know as much on, so I'm not going to talk too much about it, but, like, when it comes to, like, leather shoes and stuff like that, so leather, there's a lot of waste that's produced from it, and that often gets released in the environment. But then an alternative to that would be plastic shoes. And obviously plastic shoes release lots of carbon dioxide and pollutants into the atmosphere.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's just tough.
Yeah.
But is that all you have to say about eco products?
I believe it is.
I have a fun story. So, of course, the vaccine is out for COVID. Yay!
Woo!
I actually get to start, because I work in medical, I get my first dose very soon.
Nice.
Isn't that exciting?
Can you sneak me a dose?
I don't think I can do that.
I'm immunocompromised.
It also has to be refrigerated.
I know.
So.
Yeah.
And I've heard one person say that it is actually quite painful at the injection site. Afterwards.
Really?
So I will find out. I will know what it is like.
Not afraid of it mutating your DNA?
I mean, hopefully not. Who knows what's going to happen? I'm going to turn into a mutant. It's fine.
I've seen so many of those online.
As long as
it's driving me nuts.
It's fine. But, you know, there are hierarchies of who gets the COVID vaccine.
Mm-hmm.
I am obviously very special, even though I am not a frontline hospital worker. I just work in medical, but we are around a lot of people. But I work in medical that's not emergency.
Okay.
We do get stat orders.
Mm-hmm.
So some things do need to be dealt with soon, and sometimes people do need to go to the emergency room after they see us, because mm-hmm. we're like, you need to go to the emergency room. but we're not like, you know, you're not coming in after a car crash
mm-hmm.
that you're dying to us. But so we are a little more high priority. Obviously, immunocompromised people, elderly people will be a higher priority. But I bet you did not know that this little animal is beating some people to it. So, the title of the article is, we're just going to start with that.
Okay.
Endangered ferrets get experimental COVID-19 vaccine.
Okay.
So, friends, 120 of the ferrets, once thought completely extinct, obviously they're very endangered, that's why they're worried about them, have been vaccinated with an experimental veterinary COVID-19 vaccine, according to the Associated Press. So their ferrets, I should say, are highly susceptible to dying from COVID, as are many things and people. And they are, well, anyway, that was the end of that sentence. I'm so sorry. Let's try that one again, shall we? Ferrets are highly susceptible to dying from COVID. And Minx, a close relation to ferrets, have already been found to contract it in fur farms. Mm. Why are there fur farms? Kill them.
They're in Europe, mostly.
Annoying. I'm pretty sure they don't just shave them. I'm pretty sure they kill them.
Yes.
So, awful. None of that. Mm. We talked about the mink. Save the mink. Anyway. The minks are dying of COVID. Okay. So, they have been found to contract COVID in fur farms and, alarmingly, in the wild.
Hmm.
This is all coming from a, I'm going to tell you what where I got this from.
Chancy finds it.
I'm also going to link the article, so there's that too. It was a Live Science journal thing.
Oh.
I found it. Anyway, too far. And anyway, it's dangerous because at any time the virus, anytime any virus transmits between humans and animals, it's really bad because it can mutate, it can spread easier, mostly. Spreading easier, bad, obviously. Remember swine flu? Anyway.
Fake news.
Fake news. I survived that one too.
Yeah.
Although, who knows, I could still go bad with COVID.
Mm.
So, anyway, for highly contagious, this is what it says, for highly contagious respiratory viruses, it's really important to be mindful of the animal reservoir. Corey Casper, that is a name. Can we just mention that? A vaccinologist. Awesome. All of this is awesome. and chief executive of the Infectious Disease Research Institute in Seattle told the Colorado Public Radio, if the virus returns to the animal host and mutates or changes in such a way that it could be reintroduced to humans, then the humans would no longer have that immunity. That makes me very concerned. Me too. Corey. Me too, Mr. Casper. Anyway, so black-footed ferrets are native to the grasslands of the northern Great Plains. Are we? Well, I guess we're not considering
no.
that. That's like Montana.
We're chaparral.
Yeah, we're kind of not exciting. Anyway.
We're cool. Mediterranean climate's very rare.
Okay.
It's only found in like...
the Mediterranean?
Yeah, the Mediterranean, South Africa, and parts of Australia.
Okay. Well, anyway, we're cool. But anyway, so the black-footed ferrets were once believed to be extinct, but a few individuals were rediscovered in Wyoming in 1981. So, and then they did a captive breeding thing to try and obviously boost their numbers, but due to those low numbers, they're worried about them dying from COVID.
Mm-hmm.
So they are getting a veterinary COVID vaccine before many people are. Because, well, let's be real, they are more important than
me. Yes, they are.
And I was joking with, I told my mom I found this article, and I was like, oh my gosh, they'll probably complain less. I'm like, no, they won't. They obviously are not going to want any part of this. They're not going to want to be caught. They're not going to want to be vaccinated. But you know what? They'll do it, and they'll suck it up, and they'll move on, whereas people are awful.
Yes.
So anyway, so they began injecting their captive bred, or their breeding population, I should say, with... the experimental. Also a little scared that it's experimental. Next thing we're going to have zombie ferrets, Casey. Zombie ferrets. Have you met a ferret? They're kind of tenacious little things.
I have. I remember one time they came into the pet store and somebody had two.
Yeah. Also, it's illegal to have in California.
Yeah.
But, and everyone always complains about that, but it basically just has to do with, like, if they get out, they fuck things up. So, anyway. But, yeah. So, that's, I mean, there's, you know, a little bit more, but I'm, of course, going to link the article. So, the point is basically that little black-footed, I almost called them mongooses, ferrets are getting a COVID vaccine because they don't want them to actually go extinct.
Yeah.
So, COVID is terrible for everyone. We just, you know, stop eating uncooked things, maybe. Then touching things without washing your hands and then putting it in your mouth. Oh, God. Okay, anyway.
You know, I think it was the San Diego Zoo actually posted something about it. And it's like how they're starting up a task force for like detecting potential viruses.
That's probably an idea.
Yeah, because of wet markets and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Like I watched a documentary a long time ago, so I can't remember everything very well. But they were looking at viruses in, I'm pretty sure it was chimps or some other primate. There was tons that could have been potential transfers to humans. Thankfully, not very many have happened.
Right.
The two big ones were HIV and herpes.
Mm.
I can't remember which ones. I think it's oral.
Oral herpes.
Yeah, it originated in chimps.
Great. Yeah. Who made out with a chimp?
But no, it's kind of interesting because, like, obviously you can't look at, like, viruses don't leave fossils, but you can look at molecular clock data, which is basically in your genome, there's parts of your DNA that aren't subject to natural selection because they don't code for anything. And they use that, and then they calibrate it to find the mutation rate. And they can do this with viruses, and they did it with the herpes viruses, and they determine it originated from chimp. I can't remember how long ago.
Okay. But that's still cool.
Yes.
I mean, it's not cool, but it is cool. Yeah.
And fun fact, there is actually a part of our DNA that's involved in reproduction that originated from a virus.
Okay.
A retrovirus.
So.
Those are the kind of viruses that can get incorporated to your DNA, the retrovirus. They have an enzyme called reverse transcriptase that turns their RNA into DNA that gets put into your human DNA, and then your cells start producing viruses.
That's so weird.
Yeah, that's what happens with HIV.
So we really are the virus.
Okay. Yep. It's also why HIV doesn't have a vaccine yet.
HIV is still a big problem, but the treatment at least has gotten, you know, better.
Well, you can survive with it. The problem is the medication's so darn expensive.
Yeah, capitalism.
Yeah.
Back to capitalism.
Like, remember the guy that
yes,
was the...
we all remember.
And it's like, he didn't go to jail for that.
No, they never did.
Like,
never
he went for something else.
It's always something stupid. Anyway. But yes, so just fun little fact, everybody. And also remember your eco products and know that ferrets are, well, they're getting a questionable one.
Disguise maybe. Yourself as a ferret, you'll get vaccinated.
It's a giant ferret. Like, I don't think we want this one breeding. This is a problem. Anyway, so on to, though, our picks. I think this was Casey's pick.
This was my pick.
Actually, what am I saying? I think. This was your pick because it's all a Casey's pick. Also, I had trouble choosing one.
Yes.
But go, Casey, tell us yours first.
Yes, so for this week, I decided we're picking our strangest animals.
See, this was hard for me because you said the strangest animal we've ever seen before. That was a previous choice of yours.
No, I said that one was the strangest animal we've seen in captivity.
Yes.
This is one of the strangest ones we know.
Why do you assume, Casey, that I have seen, okay, that we know of, I guess.
Yes.
Not that we have to have seen. Okay, but still, that's very challenging for me because why would I know of it unless I saw
Google.
A documentary?
That's how you know.
Here's the thing, Casey. Normal people, and I say that questionably because I'm not that normal.
I know what's
going
to say.
Do not Google, strange animals just for funsies.
I disagree.
Okay. Well,
it's plenty on Facebook. Don't. Plenty of Facebook articles probably have it.
Okay, well, anyway.
I assume that's not MySpace yet and people actually use it.
MySpace? Well,
one of my friends, how we met is... One of my friends, though, how she and I met, she just saw me sitting down and came up to me and was like, hey, do you have a MySpace?
Are you serious?
Yes.
That's amazing. You know, MySpace was amazing. Mm-hmm. I still have pets on MySpace. Have not been pet, or I don't think you had to feed them. I think you just pet them.
I don't know what you... I don't... Before my time.
Oh, I hate you. Anyway, MySpace is kind of great. Anyway, but yeah, so tell us yours first. Before I get into mine.
Yes, so...
Oh, he's so excited about this.
Yes, because I'm pretty sure this is, like, the strangest animal I actually know of.
Okay.
And possibly...
I have no
that
idea.
That is out there, in my opinion.
Okay.
So, to specify, I said specific species or group. And I went with a group. Actually, I went with a whole order.
Okay, so you already lied. And already broke the rules.
I did not. I made the rules, so I didn't break them.
Okay, and also you did not tell me any of that, so this is a rule.
I put it in the notes. I said animal or group of animals.
Okay. I didn't look at it that way, but okay.
Yeah. So I chose the Strepsiptera.
Whatever that is.
It's an insect.
Of course it is.
Yes, so this order has about 600 different species.
Okay, yeah.
That's actually very small.
Pick one thing, Casey. 600 different ones. Different species.
Oh, that's nothing. Oh, beetles have over 350,000.
Well, I know they have a lot, but you're supposed to pick, like, a thing or a group of animals, and you broke your own rule. Anyway, do continue. Tell us about this weird order.
So, I'm going to break down the names. So, it comes from the word streptos, which means twisted, and tera, which means wing.
Okay.
I'm going to show you a picture of it.
I want this to be, like, a villain. Like a superhero villain. Really bad.
Yes. It has most extreme sexual dimorphism of any insect.
Oh, Lord. Okay, here we go.
And in my opinion, of probably any animal.
Okay. Tell Tell us about it.
So the males, they are flying insects. Their forewing is highly reduced and it kind of looks like a club. It's a stick with a ball at the end of it.
That's a wing?
Yes, that's their wing.
That's weird.
Fun fact, dipterans, which are flies, they have the same thing except it's on their hind wing.
Huh.
It's one of the reasons they're such good flyers. They help
not
with
really
balance.
Like, look at a fly. Like, hold still.
Well, I'm going to post pictures eventually on
Patreon.
Yeah, and label stuff.
Excitement for all.
It's cool.
Okay.
And the hind wing is fan shaped, and it looks like somebody grabbed it and twisted it.
A broken fan.
Yeah. Well, to me, it looks like just a fan. And their antennae are branched.
That sounds kind of cool.
Yeah, and they have raspberry shaped eyes.
What? I have to go find a picture of this, Casey.
Okay. I will.
I'm just saying, I have to post this, and I have no idea. Can I just do a drawing? I'm just going to do a drawing.
You might.
A stick figure, and just, I should draw it as, like, how I imagine it from your description.
Oh, that'd be cool.
I'm going to do that. Okay, nothing like that. Nothing like that. That's not what I was going to draw. They're kind of cool looking.
Yeah.
I'm so confused that's a fan that's twisted.
Yeah. But yeah.
Anyway, fascinating stuff. You'll see
that's a male.
Okay.
The females are essentially immobile.
Oh, great.
Yeah, they have no wings. They're actually what's called larviform. Because they basically resemble a larvae.
I don't like it.
Yeah, and what's cool is, like, you know how most insects have three parts of their body?
Yeah.
They don't, because the head and thorax are confused in what's called a cephalothorax.
Is it a head, abdomen, and thorax, or is it something else?
Head, abdomen, head, thorax, abdomen.
Oh, sorry. Weird. Okay. Anyway.
Yeah.
So, but they don't have these. No.
No. Their thorax and head are fused in what's called a cephalothorax. Kind of like spiders and crustaceans.
Oh, gosh. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yes. And the females are obligate parasites of other insects.
So they're parasites, like many other things you choose.
Yes!
But the males aren't parasites?
No, they're just flying genitals. That's how I describe them. Their
Great.
Sole purpose is fly and mate with females.
Okay.
Yeah. So they live under exoskeleton plates called pterygites.
Okay. The females.
Yeah, that's okay. The females do.
Okay.
On the host insect. And after a female pupates, her cephalothorax is exposed from underneath the pterygite.
What do you mean it's exposed? It, like, goes into their, they don't really have flesh.
No, but you can kind of, like, there's the pterygite, and then this is her cephalothorax,
what?
Just peeking out a little bit.
That's weird. I don't like it.
Yes.
Everyone else is going to need pictures. Now I'm going to put a picture of that up. Like, I don't have any idea what you're talking about.
Yes. And so the female will release pheromones to attract the male.
Okay. From inside this other insect.
Yes. And then he flies over to her. There's a thing about the female. First off, he has to land on the host insect.
Yeah,
it's
and
small.
The host insect's like, cool with this?
Well, they're small, so they usually don't notice.
Oh, okay.
A lot of times it's wasps and bees.
Okay.
But they parasitize on mostly everything.
Great.
Yeah. So the female has no genital opening.
I don't. Casey, I don't. I don't like these.
So the male injects sperm through a channel called a brood canal.
What even is that?
It's a hole in the between the cephalothorax and her last larval molt.
I mean, wouldn't that basically count as a sexual opening?
No, because it's not genitals, because genitals are down here and
so
lead
weird.
To a reproductive organ, because it's getting weirder.
Oh, no. Your weird is always creepy. I don't like it. Okay, continue.
So the eggs don't develop in this, like, reproductive organ. They reproduce in the body cavity.
Ew.
It's called a hemocele. That's where basically where the hemolymph, which is basically insect blood, is.
Okay.
Yeah. So, this form of reproduction is called hemocelic oviviparity.
It's called sucky. Is what this form of reproduction is called.
So, like I said, the young develop inside the hemocele, the body cavity
Just
of
the body cavity.
Yeah. Well. Insect anatomy is kind of weird because they don't have a closed circulatory system like we do.
Yeah.
It just kind of all floats around.
Oh, God. Okay.
Yeah. And so there's two ways that this can end, because in some species,
oh, wow. Okay.
There's not really an exit, so the larvae will burrow out of the female. Yep.
That's disgusting.
Yeah, and then in some species, they will move out by the brood canal.
Okay, so it's almost like a birth.
Yes. And then they will develop as larvae, then they'll pupate, and then if it's a female, it'll stay in the host, and then if it's a male, they'll fly off to mate with females.
What a horrible way. For a female, at least. The male kind of has fun. He gets to fly around and have a good time, and then just be like, oh, hey, woo, and then fly around again. Female's whole life sucks.
Yeah.
Ew, and then, oh, and then the poor bug, these things are in. Ugh.
Oh, yeah, these are different from, like, other parasites, because most other parasites won't kill their hosts. These guys will eventually, it will die. The host will eventually...
Because
they're feeding off of it.
Oh, great.
Okay. And there's a special name for the host when it comes all deformed. It's called a stylopize.
I don't like any of this, Casey. This is all terrible. Okay, you're done. We're moving on.
But these are actually, they're studied for trying to understand the evolution of metamorphosis, because, like, metamorphosis is weird in that they have this, like, grub form as their larvae and then develop into this completely different adult. And here you kind of have the larvae as an adult in one of the sexes.
No.
So they're studied to try to understand the evolution of metamorphosis.
The evolution of terrifying things is awful.
It's awesome.
Ugh.
Not awful, awesome.
No, it's not awesome.
It's like, awesome.
Things and their whole life sucks, except for the males. Their life does not suck.
Mm-hmm.
Ugh, ew. I don't like any of it.
I haven't even shown you the female.
I don't want to know. I don't. Is that it? Is that what that is?
This is the female.
But no, that's not fun. That's not a life. Look at, he gets through all this fun stuff. You hate it. Moving on. Allie's animal's way cooler. Okay, so my animal, I had so much trouble coming up with this because it had to be something really weird that I knew of. And I was like, well, the horseshoe crab was pretty weird. So I literally had to go cheat and look up weird animals. And some of them I had sort of kind of heard of, but like not really. And some of them were really weird. And I was like, that's a great choice, but I'd never heard of it before. So I went with one that I had heard of because of the show Kim Possible.
Oh my gosh.
That's pretty
See, when you told me you know about this one.
Yeah.
I assumed it was like from a documentary or from the ones at the zoo.
No. I don't think I've seen the ones at the zoo. So Kim Possible, I mean, I think I'd seen little things like, oh, this animal, blah, 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 occasionally, but Kim Possible is where I found it. So of course, if you know Kim Possible, I'm talking about the animal that is in Kim Possible, which is the naked mole rat. Roll rat. The naked mole rat. And, I'm going to tell you about these little lovely-looking dudes. And I thought they were kind of weird. They were definitely weirder animals besides the naked mole rat, but nothing
like as the strip
weird
zipper.
And creepy as Casey. The other stuff was, like, cool. Anyway. Nope, not going to be able to say this, Casey. Hetero... Excuse me. It is the heterocephalus. Actually, I think that's right. Heterocephalus. That's
yes.
About it, right? Yes, me. Glabber. Heterocephalus glabber. I'm doing that. Oh my gosh. I want to say that so many times. Anyway, they are native to countries in Eastern Africa like Ethiopia, Somalia, and Kenya. Also need to decide if it's actually Kenya or Kenya, because I hear it both ways, but I've
really?
Kenya.
I've only heard Kenya.
I like Kenya, but I hear Kenya. But I'm saying Kenya, because I'm American. Someone from actual Kenya, you can tell me. Whatever you say, that's what we'll do.
I remember I had this conversation with my sister and a few other people, and it's like, why don't we just, like, go reference countries by what the people there call it?
Well, Swahili is one of the main languages, and based on Swahili, it would be pronounced Kenya,
because
I has the E sound. Yeah. So I'm saying Kenya. There you go. They live underground, back to the little mole rats, in tunnels, typically in grassland and savanna habitat. As the name suggests, they are hairless. Shocking. And they have wrinkly pink or brown skin. Ew, I haven't seen a brown one. Ugh, definitely pink over brown. I don't know. That's just all weird. They are a herbivorous species. And they feed on tubers, whatever that is.
It's a modified root that stores food and water.
Cool, great. Roots and bulbs of various plants. They have reduced eyes because they live underground and they don't rely on vision much. They are 147 to 165 millimeters long. Not too big. They are 30 to 80 grams. Not too heavy. They have a social structure similar to termites. Lovely. Among the very few mammals with a polyandrous mating system, one female mates with multiple males. Yes, naked mole rat. Get it. Each colony has a single reproductive queen that mates with 1 to 3 reproducing males. The queen will breed throughout the year, only partake in maternal care for the first 36 days. Then the job of raising the offspring is transferred to the non-breeding members of the colony. This is perfect.
Yeah, aka the workers.
Yes, this is amazing. Anyway, they have the longest lifespan of any rodent. They can live up to 30 years, which is pretty crazy.
Yes.
That's longer than a lot of animals generally, actually.
Yeah.
They're about 9 times, or their lifespan, I should say, is about 9 times longer than other rodents of similar size.
Mm-hmm. Like, you okay there?
Yeah. Like eusocial insects, they have a cast. I've heard it cast and cast, actually, so which one do we want to say?
It's cast.
I'd say cast. I would go cast. They have a caste system in which labor is divided amongst the different castes. Smaller, non-breeders provide food and raise the offspring, otherwise known as the nannies. and larger individuals protect the colony and build the mole hills. Inbreeding is common since they live underground in grasslands and savannas, so dispersal and finding outsiders is difficult. Oh, there should be a little naked roll. I keep on a roll rat. A naked mole rat like love story.
Next what? Movie. Oh, honestly, it wouldn't be that messed up.
It wouldn't. They would like dance and it'd be cute. Their teeth are a little creepy, but that's okay. Anyway. They build large, expansive underground colonies, can consist of over 400 molehills, and large ones can span 2.9 kilometers. That's a lot of space for molehills. You go, little guys. They are listed as least concerned by the IUCN Red List. Population is assessed as stable. But yeah, they're kind of freaky-looking little things. TBH. This is going to make noise.
Bump, bump.
Okay. And, but they're kind of, I don't like to say a lot of things are not cute, but they're not very cute. Like, some of the animals on that list that were really weird looking were so weird looking they're cute. Some of them are not.
Like
so
mine? Much.
No. Yours is not cute at all, Casey. I'm going to start making you pick things, because you will pick these categories just because you want to do one animal that's so weird and
creepy. Yes!
And then you traumatize me with their sexual reproduction. And then I'm just going to make you pick, like, the fluffiest, cutest stuff, the most basic stuff sometime. Wow. He was so against that. Anyway. Those are our picks. The strangest, what is that category, Casey? Because you keep changing the rules.
I said animal or group of animals.
Or order, apparently, of animals that you know about. And I, of course, learned mine from... Also, I never really watched Kim Possible. It was just like, I saw ads for it on Disney Channel while I was...
I watched that all the time, man.
I watched like a couple episodes. I like her outfit. I know she's voiced by Chrissy Carlson Romano, who was on Even Stevens, which I did watch a lot. Anywho, off topic.
But, where are they now?
Well, Shia LaBeouf.
Shia LaBeouf.
Shia LaBeouf. And she... I don't know what she's doing now. And that brings us to our animal of the week, which is much cuter. I don't know. Actually, Casey's probably going to terrify me with some information about our animal of the week, but I think they're beautiful.
Yeah, it is.
What is hitting me? What is this?
My foot.
What? Okay, Mr. Trying to Play Footsie. Why is your foot up, like, up high under the table?
Because I can't sit still.
Oh my gosh. Mm-hmm. All right, are you ready?
Yes.
Our animal of the week is...
The walking flower mantis.
The walking flower mantis. I have only seen, I'm guessing they're babies, on people's fingers, and they're so cute.
They're not that big, so it might not have been a baby.
I can't wait to hear about them, because actually I'm really excited about this. All right, let's go.
Yes, so these guys from the order Mantodia.
Mantodia?
Mantodia.
Mantodia. You're Mantodia? Yeah.
It means mantis.
Damn right. I'll rip your head off. Continue.
Yeah. Family is Hymenopodidae.
Hymenopodidae?
Yes.
Mentodon Hymenopodidae. Yeah.
Genus is Hymenopus.
Oh, this just gets better and better. Okay, continue.
Species name is Hymenopus coronatus.
I love all of this. Can you please just say all of that?
Again?
No, like from the order, just like keep going down.
Mantodia hymenopodidae, hymenopus, hymenopus coronatus.
I love it. I love everything about that. Okay.
Oh, man. So these guys are endemic to tropical rainforests of Southeast Asia.
Endemic means that they only occur there.
Yes.
Continue, Casey.
Allie learned something.
How dare you.
Yep. They're most common in Myanmar, Indonesia, Thailand, and Malaysia.
Okay.
Their lifespan is different between the sexes. Males live about 5 to 6 months.
Okay.
Females about 8 months.
Yeah, get it, girls.
Yeah. Males usually I'll explain why later. But usually it's shorter lived in captivity because there's problems with breeding.
Meaning they can't get away and the women kill them?
Yes.
Nice.
Yeah. So they are a sexually dimorphic species, and like most other insects, the female is larger than the males.
Yeah.
Males only about 2 inches. Females about 4 inches.
Wait, you randomly go back to, Imperial. Whatever. Okay, anyway.
I didn't want to do the math.
Oh my gosh, Casey.
Okay, listen. Most of my sources are scientific.
Which means it's metric.
Yes.
Yeah.
This one, my normal sources, were not available.
Oh.
So okay. I had to use American stuff.
Did you get this from, like, U.S. people?
Yes.
That's not even a magazine. I can't. Okay, continue, Casey.
Yep. And as probably everyone already knows, they are carnivorous. Typically prey on flying pollinator insects.
Oh.
Yes, so the bees.
The bees.
The butterflies, moths, and flies. Some beetles. And I'm going to give you a new term to learn.
Okay.
They have what's called hypognathous chewing mouth parts.
What the heck? Hypognathous chewing mouth parts. Does that mean they go... Wah?
No, hypognathous means the mouth is underneath the head.
Like where the neck is?
No, like there's the head.
Yeah.
And then there's, well, kind of where the neck is, but they don't really have a neck, but they kind of look like they do.
Okay.
But yeah, it's on the bottom underneath. Okay. Kind of like grasshoppers.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah.
Okay.
Instead of prognathous, which is in the front, mm-hmm. or epistognathous, which points back.
So it's like instead of this, it's here.
Yeah.
I love putting this right in front of my mouth as I talk for a podcast. So this.
Yes, that's prognathous. This. That's hypognathous.
Okay. Hypognathous? And then
hypognathous.
I'm not going to remember that. Okay.
Yes. And then epistognathous is this.
Well, that's dumb.
It points backwards.
That's dumb.
Yeah, but they're cool.
It works for something. But anyway, continue.
Yes. So these are hemimetabolous insects.
Oh my gosh, all of these things.
I've just talked about
hemimetabolous. Something blood? No. Blood metabolous. I don't know. Continue.
It means they go through incomplete metamorphosis.
Oh, that's weird.
Yes,
okay.
So,
that makes sense.
Unlike, say, butterflies, using that as an example because everyone knows butterflies,
yes.
Hopefully. There's the larvae, the pupa, then the adult, the egg. Whereas hemimetabolous, it's the egg, then what's called a nymph, which is basically the juvenile, which looks identical to the adult, except they don't have wings.
Oh, okay.
And then it becomes an adult. Yes.
Okay.
Now, the problem with this is it puts the juveniles in competition with the adults.
That's not good for them.
Nope. That's why the most specious insects are homometabolous.
Okay. Yep. You're laughing at.
I love you nodding. It's like, yep.
Yep.
Understanding what I'm actually
saying. I totally get this. I will not remember any of that, but that's okay.
Yes.
I'll remember some of this.
Okay. And like all mantids, they have very well-developed eyes.
Okay, they have the big old
yes.
ones, yep.
Yes, and that pupil you see is an optical illusion.
Oh.
Yeah, it's just, they have a lot of, oh my gosh, what is
it? Yeah.
I'm not using the actual term. But these lenses, it's all a whole bunch of lenses, and that's how they form images. So, because you have to think each lens is getting a different perspective of an image. So when you have a bunch of lenses, it gives you a better image. Then that's how they have good vision.
Okay.
And a consequence of that is light gets reflected weird, and so it appears as though I have a pupil.
Oh, okay. Interesting.
Mm-hmm.
That's cool.
Yes. And another thing is with mantids is they can rotate their head, which is why sometimes you'll, like, in, like, kids' books and stuff, they'll, like, give mantids and in some cultures they'll attribute intelligence and wisdom to the mantids. And it's the reason for that is also why people attribute intelligence to owls is because The ability to rotate your neck is attributed with intelligence.
That's really weird.
Yes, but that's that's why people have this image of the
people
wise owl.
Back then, so here you go.
But yeah, and they're actually the only insect that can rotate their head.
You get it. Mantids, is that their group?
Yeah. Praying mantids. I always just say mantids.
I like mantis better, but okay.
Yeah, whatever. Yeah, and probably the most famous thing mantids are known for is the female eating the males during mating.
Yep, there you go. Mm-hmm.
But this is over-exaggerated because the females only eat the males about 20 to 25% of the time.
It's a risk you gotta take.
Yes.
Yep.
And more common in captivity just because the male can't always get away. And typically it's only if the females are like really hungry. That
so feed your female a lot first. Yes. I mean, this applies to like real life. You're in better shape if you make sure that your date is fed,
or she'll chew off your head.
Yeah, just in a different way.
And you'll breed more vigorously.
Oh my gosh,
that's biology.
Definitely, that's how it works.
Well, in insects it does. Yeah. And females can lay a cluster of up to 100 eggs.
Oh my goodness.
And a structure that's called an ootheca.
Ootheca?
Yes. It's this, like, structure she exudes out of her body. Ooh. That covers the eggs to act as a protective covering.
Okay.
For the babies.
Even though she's really like, screw you, you're going to be my competition later.
Yeah, because cool. Then she just marches off and she doesn't take care of them.
She's like, whatever.
Yeah, and there's actually some parasitoid wasps.
Of course there is.
That will parasitize the ootheca, and their offspring will eat them from the inside out.
I mean, that actually is nicer, I feel like, yeah, than most of these parasites, because at least they have their like grown thing with something living inside them. There's like eggs getting eaten.
Yeah. And like I mentioned earlier, not many people know this, but mantids do have wings.
I don't know if I knew that or not.
Yeah. And like most other insects, they have two pairs of wings.
Okay.
The forewing is leather, with a leathery wing that's called a tegmina.
Tegmina.
Yes.
Okay.
And then the hind wings are membranous and clear.
They're membranous and clear.
Yes, just think of a typical, like think of a fly that's a membranous wing.
Or like a dragonfly.
Yeah. And the tegmina is the reason why they're terrible flyers. You don't see them flying all that much. Uh-huh. They're not very aerodynamic.
Yeah.
Oh, and this is something that is interesting with this species in particular, is because even though they're also sometimes called orchid mantids.
Mm-hmm, that makes sense.
But they are pretty much never in flowers.
It's because they look like a flower.
Exactly. Their camouflage is so good that pollinators think they are flowers and come to them.
Oh my gosh, that's so smart. I figured it was to hide from predators, but it's like, no, come get me. And
yes, this is actually a type of camouflage called mimesis.
Mimesis.
Mimesis. Yes.
Okay.
It's where you replicate an object in your environment.
That's cool.
Yes. And these guys are actually sought after as pets due to their beautiful coloration.
They're very pretty.
Yes, but they can be difficult to keep since they are very sensitive to changes in temperature and humidity.
Oh, that would be very difficult.
And it's not cheap.
No, I imagine not.
Yes, because first off, like I said, they don't live long. Lifespan's less than a year.
Oh, yeah.
And can cost up to $45 for a single nymph.
Okay.
For a pair of a sex adults, it's even more expensive. And if you want a sex pair that you want to eventually breed, it's going to cost you about $100.
Hmm. I mean, that's in the scope of things. It's not that bad. But, like, for a small insect. But they're so cute, Casey.
Yes.
But I wouldn't want her to eat his head. And I want them to be happy.
Yeah.
I'm like, are you happy and fulfilled?
I see them at expos sometimes. Obviously, I haven't been to one in a long time because of COVID.
COVID. We haven't done anything in a long time.
I remember I follow one of the expos on Instagram, and it's like there's a meme. It's like 2021, here we come. And it's like, well, I hope.
The end of 2021.
Yeah.
If that mutated version doesn't get us. That's why we have to vaccinate the ferrets. And the minks. Maybe vaccinate the minks.
Can't we just ship off all the anti-vaxxers to die on an island instead?
I mean, it'd be not, then they'd be safe because they would be on an island.
Yeah, but there's guaranteed some of them with COVID.
That's true. Some of them would have it.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's, I can't even get into that. Anyway, the walking flower mantis are very pretty.
Yes.
And you've probably seen them before. I think there's definitely a video of, like, I think they're babies.
Yeah.
And they're, like, doing their little mantis thing on mm-hmm. someone's finger, and they're so cute.
Yes.
I like mantis. They're one of my favorite insects.
I'm pretty sure I could tell you one thing about mantis that will make you sad.
You really want to ruin one of the insects I like?
Well, it's not this specific species.
What is it, Casey?
So some of the larger mantids.
Yeah.
They can hunt small hummingbirds.
That's what I figured when you said pollinators. That's yeah. terrifying. An insect that can kill a hummingbird is yeah. terrifying.
There are centipedes that will eat.
No, those are evil.
Snakes.
You get them, snakes. You get them. I'm on the snake side.
Ew. I'm on the side of, I need, what is it called in Doctor Who?
Wibbly wobbly timey wimey.
I assume you might know, but like a time machine.
A TARDIS? Oh, the TARDIS.
Oh, yeah.
I'm sorry. I needed more than, what do you call it in Doctor Who? There's a lot of things in Doctor
Who. The time travel thingamabob.
The TARDIS.
Okay. And go back to the Carboniferous, and I will take us all on a field trip to explore the wonderful world of giant insects.
Nope.
Yes.
I don't want to do
like,
it.
Like, I will show you the dragonflies the size of hawks and 6-foot-long millipedes.
No, definitely know that. The dragonflies are cool because I like yeah. dragonflies.
Mm-hmm.
But can I ride it? Oh, you can't ride a hawk.
No.
So
no,
you can't ride it. That's sad. But they could ship things for you. They'd be like messenger dragonflies. That would be so cool.
Yeah, but they're too dumb.
Well, that's rude. You just put food things in front of them. They just can't go very far. They're not long distance.
Yeah, they are the world's most efficient predator.
That is pretty cool.
Yeah, they catch their prey over 90% of the time.
That's insane.
Yes.
But anyway, yeah, so that's not what we're talking about. We're talking about the walking flower mantis.
Yes, and that was it on the flower mantis.
Okay. Well, funny thing that you brought up a specific bird earlier, Casey.
I did?
Yeah, you did.
Hummingbird? Oh.
I can't say that bird because it makes it really obvious. What did the bird say after attending the hilarious comedy show?
That really quacked me up.
That was a good one. Well, that was a hoot.
Oh my god. Owl!
I can say owl. It would be too obvious. What a hoot.
Gosh.
Also, they're clearly from the Midwest. Oh, what a hoot. Anyway, I love that. But it's my turn for the challenge this week, Casey. Mm-hmm. Are you ready?
I'm
not actually ready. I'm trying to switch it up, and I've been debating on the rules for this game, kind of like you with choosing a category. You can't decide. So this is what I think we're going with, okay? Also, I'm going to be terrible at this because I'm a terrible speller.
Oh, good Lord.
We have to. It's like our alphabet challenges, but this is what we're going to have to do. We have to do alternating animals that are 3 letters long, 4 letters long, and 5 letters long. That way there's 3, so we're going to be switching on and off.
So 3, 4, 5?
Yeah, and then we go back to 3. So you can't sit there and just think of a 3 forever. Yeah.
Okay, it does.
Yes, because it's an odd number.
I know. That's like, I know that's the logic behind it, but I don't trust it.
I might have to write them down because this is probably going to be rough. So can you get your timer for 3 minutes? And we're going to see how many we can do, Casey.
Okay. This is going to be awful.
Do you want to go first? Or do you want me to go first?
I will go first.
Okay.
3 minutes?
3 minutes.
Okay.
This is going to be bad. Okay. Ready? Go.
Ant.
Also we can use plurals. Dogs.
Frogs.
This. Okay. Okay, I'm back to 3. Bat.
Cats.
Okay. Whale.
Now I'm on 3. B.
You're 3. B. I'm on 4. Goat.
Toads.
You're just gonna go with, like, those kind of things. Okay, I'm on 3. You said cats. I guess we shouldn't repeat one. That would be
bad.
Can I just say Ray?
Yeah.
Okay, I'm going to say Ray. You have four.
I know.
Okay.
Gosh. Rats.
Rats. Okay. Hawk.
Three.
Yeah.
Jay.
Okay, Ray and Jay. I'm gonna say owls.
Good Lord. Five now?
Yeah, five.
Five.
Making us think.
Oh my gosh.
You can do it.
No, I can't.
Yes, you can. I already have two in mind.
What?
Yeah.
Wait, I'm on three.
I have three in mind. No, you have five.
Five.
You
have five. Oh. Why can't I think?
I literally have three in my mind right now.
Shark.
There you go. I have three now. I'm going to be really simple and say bug.
That is cheap.
That one I can't do?
As a biologist, I hate it. I'm sorry.
Too bad I'm saying it.
Four.
Fine, pug.
That I disagree with more because we said dog.
Fine, then it's pigs. Bug again. Pigs, okay. Mouse.
Three.
Yeah, you're on three.
Oh, Lord. Eel.
Good job. I know, three's getting tough. Four. I already said that one, so I shouldn't do the plural of that. I will say a deer.
I thought we did deer.
We didn't do deer. We did not.
Oh. Bars.
Okay. Moose. We did okay! Casey, we did better than I thought we would, honestly. Let's see. 21.
Woo!
Not bad.
Same as a year.
Yes.
Okay, I have to make
it. Can also what?
It's a joke about the year.
Okay.
So it's like, you thought 2020 was bad. It's like, just wait. This girl can drink now.
Also, can we appreciate the words that we just came up with? Our super intellectual. Ant, dogs, frogs, bat, cats, whale, bee, goat, toads, ray, cats, or that rats? That's rats. I can't read my own writing. Hawk, jay, owls, shark, bug, pug. We couldn't decide which one's bug.
Okay, the reason I have problem with bug
is
because everyone refers to just some spineless, creepy crawly as bug.
As a bug.
There is only one group that are true bugs.
There are still a group that are bugs, so yes. We're going with it.
Those are the heteropterans.
Well, fine. Pigs, mouse, eel, deer, boars, and moose. A lot of these are beers. Anyway.
I nearly said beer.
It's not. That's not an animal, Casey.
Nope. But anyway. I have one more joke.
Oh, yeah, okay.
Something, one more thing to say, because it was my favorite commercial of 2020.
Okay.
It was Match.com. And it was Satan, sad, gloomy, because awful love life. And then he goes on Match.com and meets up with a girl. She's like, Satan. And he's like, 2020. She's like, please, call me 2020.
Oh, my God. That's so weird.
It's my favorite commercial.
You're so silly.
No, I'm crazy.
I mean, there's that. There is that. You're silly crazy.
Also, let's just...
Oh. Yep.
Think about it. That Match.com is making an ad during a pandemic.
Well, what are they supposed to do? They're probably dying.
I know. But still, it's like not responsible.
A lot of people are trying to date during the pandemic, and I'm like, how about just like take a break?
Oh, yeah. Awful. It's like there's some people like on dating apps. It's like, hey, want to hook up? And it's like, I'll wear a mask.
That's not gonna solve that problem.
Yeah.
Anyway, it's gonna be a lame hookup.
Yeah.
Any Anywho, that's not what this podcast is about, although it is with insects, which is always terrifying, that they don't wear their masks.
No.
Greedy insect things. Anyway, but yeah, thank you for hanging out with us on this hoot of an episode. As always, we're your hosts, Allie.
And Casey.
And this has been the 23rd episode of the Animal Addicts Podcast. We will see you soon on episode 24 for some more.